everybody. This is Mark Chaffardini. Thanks for coming back to the Go See Talk podcast experience. We're here avec Quentin Dupieux to speak about his newest film, Smoking Causes Coughing. His work is a hit festival after festival. And no matter where we go, we're always going to follow him on the wrong side of the road, the wrong cops. And everybody has a mustache in his film. So, Quentin, how are you today? How's things in your world?
I'm good, thank you. Now, funny comment about the mustache.
Well, question for you. What is more important to you when you're casting? Is it the look or is it the voice?
Actually, it's more like you can't just think for each character. It's more like I'm more thinking about the addition of some people, which means it's more the group. It's more the... you know, I'm more concerned about the energy between 3, 5, 6 comedians, which means when you find one, then you know I'm not thinking about just one character. It's more like let's say making a movie, it's like a concert. It's about many musicians working together.
All right, that is much more eloquent, and that's a bigger answer than I was expecting. That's why you make the films that I love, and I love watching the work that you do. Kind of a funny question. You know, this is a really interesting, and these are called vigilantes. I'm not sure. Do you call them superheroes? Do you call them vigilantes? What side of the law do they find themselves on? The tobacco force.
They're more like, you know, ridiculous human beings.
Okay.
Just like us.
I think that makes it true to life. I just wish I had the power of nicotine and carcinogens. Well, I think this is, you know how to, you've already shown in Wrong how to create literally the best ending in film history, where a hero rides off into the sunset, the song Resolution by Mr. Ozio. So this is an exercise in keeping people in suspense. When did that joke come into the script or the story, and how much fun did you have just like letting people not reach resolution with these characters?
I mean, it's mostly inspired by the real world, actually. You know what I mean? Like, there is no resolution. Like, we're trapped in a terrible situation, and I think I decided to make a joke about it, but it's just strongly connected to the real world, I think.
Okay. Well, in a way, I guess, you know, they are hanging on the robot as we hang on to our cell phone, trying to get that next bit and wait. So I could see how a nice parallel there. As I said before, I saw a lot of your work at film festivals. Do you notice that the film festival community seems to be more fervent? Is there any differences between modern film audiences and people who sit in a film festival for 12 days straight? Like, does any of your material gear to one audience versus the other?
This is hard to tell. Like, I would say every screening is different. Like, you know, from public screenings to festivals to film premiere, like, it's always different. Like, it's always a different vibe. It's always different reactions. And that's why I love making these films. It's because you never know what you're going to get. And because they're not like pre-made movies, basically you never know where people are going to laugh or react, or you never know when people going to actually stay focused and wait. It's amazing how it works. Like, it's unpredictable.
Well, I think whether it's a murderous tire or William Fichtner as a German Indian therapists, psychologists, or a team of these vigilantes. You know, the thing I was most taken with by smoking causes coughing is the supermarket fridge. I just, you know, talk about an idea that sounds probably crazy on paper. It's fun to watch in the theater, and when you think about it afterwards, you're like, that is one of the most unexpected cool things I've ever seen. So can
Nice.
you talk about that idea?
Yes, I mean it's funny you mentioned this because it's just the proof that anyone actually sees the movie he wants, because nobody, like I've been doing a lot of press for this movie for France, but also when I was in Cannes, so international press, nobody ever mentioned this joke, which means, yeah, I'm happy someone did, but this means everybody picks up something somewhere, like, oh, this is my favorite joke, and we don't know why. Like, nobody mentioned this before. So then I can't explain where this came from. I think I was just trying to make this base, you know, like this, how do you call it? Like the I was trying to make this location exciting for them, like to make them feel like, oh wow, this is amazing, titanium beds, wow, there's a supermarket fridge. That's it, you know, it was just a good way to make them their journey start on a good note.
Well, I would say making characters start on a good note, a lot of it comes with first impressions. Some of your characters have funny wigs or a way of walking and talking. So how much do you let them have a decision on a wig or, you know, something that makes them stand out?
Oh, no, this is all like my decision and with my wife who does the art direction. And with also production designer of my movies. All this is well prepared, and we do some Photoshop tests, and we find, like, you know, new looks for characters every time. But the actors are not really involved in these decisions. And I think that's why they love it so much. It's like they come and we have all these surprises for them.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, talk to me about a surprise. This is a joke. I just want to preface it with that. But in order for someone to get a role in the movie, do they need to make out with Alain Chabat? Is that part of the casting process?
With the rat, yes.
Yeah.
With the rat.
Okay. Okay.
They like, have to. I'm sorry. I'm
well,
sorry.
Do you have those screen tests that you would share in an outtake, like casting process? Funny stuff. Well, let's talk about the other great thing about the movie is that it felt, these basically characters around a campfire telling stories that it seemed like they make up, and it's non-linear storytelling. So how in your process do you view this? Do you like just throwing an aside or throwing something crazy for the sake of it?
No, this was here from the start of the project. Like, I wanted to create a new format. Like, I wanted to get out of the classical, you know, linear movie. So that's why I came up with this idea of like, oh, let's make a movie about storytelling. Like, let's make a movie with different stories, you know, that are not necessarily connected to each other, but then they make sense together because the movie is well crafted. But yeah, this was the goal when I started this script. I knew I wanted to do something fresh as a structure. Like, I wanted a new structure, something I never did before.
Well, I can say as a film fan, I wanted something. I wanted more. I wanted this. This felt like this could have been the first chapter in a TV show or something like that. Was there something longer planned? I feel like from the moment I met the family who got ridiculous amounts of blood on them, even from up on a hilltop, to the ending, I felt like this is there's probably more to this. So was there a greater ambition or something else maybe that didn't make it in the movie?
Yes. I had few. I mean, mostly another story was supposed to be included, like a bigger one. But obviously, it was the most expensive beat of the film, so I had to get rid of it. Like, it was impossible to include in this budget. And few little things also, in the first version of the script, the ending was bigger. The ending was more like, spectacular, let's say. But then, you know, it's the reverse of being so free. I have to, if I want to make the movie possible, I have to stick to the budget. That's normal for a filmmaker. So yes, I had to get rid of some beats. Yes, and especially like another big story, another sketch, which was too expensive, but I have it somewhere in my computer. Maybe one day we will do it.
Well, I can't wait for that. I would also like to say, when it comes to your film career, it's like a larger than life. You have your own mythology, your own universe. But if we can go small scale, if you were to make a movie about yourself, who would you cast in the role of yourself? And would it be wild or straight?
That's an amazing question. I have no answer because I never thought about it. And actually, I don't think a movie about myself would be so interesting because I'm mostly living a normal life with my wife and kids, walking my dog, writing scripts, making music, shooting movies, editing movies. I'm not sure this makes the movie.
Okay. Well, then, was your dog the inspiration for Wrong? How much do you love your dog? I'm a dog owner myself. Just want to know.
When I shot Wrong, I had no dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got my dog like a few years after Wrong.
Okay. Well, I the Alamo Drafthouse and the Drafthouse film label produced Wrong on Blu-ray, and I got the My Life, My Dog, My Strength. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah. Part screenplay, part the book Dolph was reading and its autograph. So I wish I would have brought that with me to prove it, but that's how much I love your stuff. More Wrong Cops, Deer Skin, just throw it my way. Well, I would say bon chance with this, taking it on the rest of the press tour, but you've this has been a bucket list for me, so I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Spread the word.